Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister at the Harrodsburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to our program this morning. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be given our meeting times at the Harrodsburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any of all of our services. You will always be warmly received. We also ask you to check out our website, www.churchofchristatharrodsburg.com. You'll find many valuable resources that will aid you in your study of the Bible. All of these radio programs are also on there that you can download and listen to again and study along with what we are studying about, and hopefully that it will aid you in a better understanding of God's Word. We come to the final chapter in the Apocalypse of the study of the book of Revelation and the end of our study on the subject of premillennialism. It's in chapter number 22. In chapter number 22, this chapter gives a description of the new environment, an invitation to come, and an admonition not to change God's plans. Let us begin by reading the first five verses. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the middle of its street, and on either side of the river, was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the trees were for the healing of the nations. And there will be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb will be in it, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And he said to me, these words are faithful and true, and the Lord God, the holy prophet, sent his angel to show his servant the things must shortly come and take place. Notice that we begin this chapter with a description of the water of life, the crystal clear that proceeds from the throne of God. And there is no more curse there, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. Our names will be on our foreheads. There's no night there, no lamp, no light, no sun, for the Lord God gives the light. And these words are faithful and true, and are attested by the Lord God and of the holy prophet that sent his angel to show John these things that he wrote down and recorded for our benefit. But you notice again in this context that the river of the water of life is not on a purified earth. It is in heaven itself. How do I know that? It's where the throne of God is. The throne of God is not on earth, it is in heaven. And the Lamb, the Father and the Lamb are on the throne. And the river of life is by the throne, that proceeds from the throne. And there's no night there, no light, no sun. Again, showing that this is a distinctive dwelling place that's not on earth, but in heaven itself, the home of God, that will now become the home of the faithful. We also see that in this overwhelming scene that John sees, that his emotions get the best of him. And in verse number 8, we read, now I, John, saw and heard these things. And when I heard and saw, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel who showed me these things. Then he said to me, see that you do not do that, for I am your fellow servant and in your brethren, the prophets, and those who keep the words of the book. Worship God. Notice, again, for the second time, John has to be reminded that men are to worship God and him only. He tried to worship the messenger, the one that was giving him this great revelation and this scene that he's trying to write down and depict for us by the work of the Holy Spirit. And he's told to get up and to worship God, and to worship him only. And then in verse number 10, he said to him, do not seal the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. Notice, he's to reveal it. He's to bring it forth, that it might be read, that it might be considered, but most of all, that it might be understood, and it might be followed. In verse number 12, there's an important statement that begins, and behold, I am coming quickly, and my word is with me, to give everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments, for they will have the right to the tree of life, that they may enter in through the gates of the city. Notice a promise that he is coming. He is coming, and when he comes, his reward is with him. He's not coming to establish another kingdom. He's not coming to establish a kingdom on earth. He's not coming to die again. He's coming with a reward. Why? Because he's coming to judge. In verse 12, it says he's going to give everyone according to his work. Every man and woman who have ever lived are going to be judged by the judge. Also read 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10. He is the beginning and the end in verse 13. And those who have a right to have the tree of life and are enter the gates of the city are those who have done his blessed and divine will. The faithful, the obedient, are the ones that will enter and have right to the access of the tree of life. But what about the others? In verse number 15, they are mentioned. But outside are dogs and sorcerers, the sexually immoral, murderers and idolaters, and whoever loves and practices a lie. Those who are outside, those who are eternally separated from God, will never see God. They will never see the throne. They will never have access to the tree of life, and they will not have fellowship with him in this eternal place called heaven. They have been condemned. They have been judged to be unfaithful, and they have been judged to suffer the consequences of their decision by being cast from the presence of God forever. And then again, the book ends with some very important invitations and a warning. In verse 17, and the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him who hears come, and let him who thirsts come, whoever desires, let him take of the water of life freely. The Lord's invitation is left open for all those who are willing to meet his terms, for all those who are willing to come and accept his mercy, his grace, and his love, and his long-suffering, and are willing to be committed and dedicated and obedient to his will. And he will reward their faithful service by giving them of the water of life freely. But I want you to notice in the context of this letter that there is a very strict warning given in verse 18 and 19. As for I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life and from the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. You see, God knew that men would take this book and they would seek to teach a different message. God knew of all the books that were in the Bible, this would be the book that men most would try to change and add and subtract from the things which it says. But God gives a very stiff warning, a warning that if anyone adds to the prophecies of this book, God will add the plagues to him. And if anyone takes away from the things that God says in the book, he'll take his name out of the book of life. This is a very stern warning to not tamper with this book. Do not tamper with this book and its teaching. But sadly, men have failed to obey that warning. They have ceased to examine it and have ceased to understand the gravity of changing its meaning and its teaching. Unfortunately, this book is the most tampered book, most twisted, most perverse, and most mistaught and misunderstood book in all of the Bible. Sadly, men will fail when they try to change the meaning of this book. This book has a meaning that we have tried to show in our chapters of in our study of these 22 chapters. It is a book full of comfort. It is a book that assures us that God is in control. He is on the throne. The Lamb has finished his work. God is going to protect his people. God is watchful of the things that are happening on earth. He is taking note. We are writing our record down in our record. And if we are one of his children and we are living for him and we are being faithful, our name is recorded in the book of life. And in the end, when he comes back to reward and to judge all the faithful and to condemn the wicked, the things that we have done and the things that we have determined to do in our lives will determine whether or not our name is written in the book of life. And if it is not in the book of life, we will have the sadness of being separated from God for all eternity in a place that is called hell. Why? Not because God doesn't love us, not because God didn't give us an opportunity to avoid this terrible place, but because we chose to go contrary to His will. And so it will be with anyone who changes the prophecies of this book. And ladies and gentlemen, that is all the premillennialist has done. He is continually changing the meanings of this book. He changes the meaning as the current events happen around him. And he gives new meaning to these passages and these imageries that we've studied in these 22 chapters that will fit his theory of where he wants to come out at, and that is a 1,000-year reign upon the earth, where the Lord will rule from the city of Jerusalem, Judaism will be reinstated, and there will be a utopia on earth. Such is in the figment of man's imagination. Such things are not taught and never have been taught by the prophets, by the apostles, or by the inspired writers of the Old and New Testament. The spiritual kingdom of God is the church, and what we see in heaven is the church in its glorified state. Those who will be in heaven will be those who have been faithful through all ages, and the church and its faithful members who have done God's bidding and been faithful while upon the earth. Now, men and women need to make some decisions. We have studied these chapters in their context. We have clearly shown that this book is a book of comfort, and its comfort is known to those who believe God, trust God, hope in Christ, and live for Him and follow His will explicitly without reservation and love Him with all of their heart and will do the things that He commands them to do, not out of fear of punishment, but out of love. And when we have that kind of heart, our name will be entered into the book of life. And on the final day, when men will face the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of their life, our name will be recorded in that wonderful book. And we will be able to enter heaven and into the joys of our Lord, to be in His presence and in His home in heaven forever and ever and ever. What a wonderful scene, and what a wonderful picture of these last two chapters in the Apocalypse of the great reward and the great place prepared for those who love and keep His commandments. Dear listener, do not be misled by the premillennial teaching that is so prevalent in this area. Do not be misled that such a place on earth God ever has prepared or will prepare for man. The place that God has prepared to reward the faithful and to reward the committed and dedicated Christians who wear His name is not on earth. It is in heaven. It is a place where there will be eternal bliss, eternal peace, eternal joy, and we will always be in the presence of the God whom we love and the Lamb who gave His life that all of it would be made possible. Dear listener, we have tried in these months, as we have studied the premillennial theory, to examine the Bible and what it says about premillennialism. I believe the case has been made that premillennialism is not a doctrine of God, it is a theory of men. And such theories are doomed to fail because they are contrary to the holy will of God. Don't take my word for it, dear listener. Open your mind, open your Bible, examine the things that we've presented in this series of studies, and see for yourself. Is the kingdom of God a spiritual kingdom? Is it a spiritual nation? And is heaven the place that's prepared for those who love Him and keep His commandments? Tune in again next week. Have a wonderful day.